It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important president of all time.
You are incredible!
Older than one.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur?
This is going to be huge.
I think this is
going to
be our finest hour.
Old friend,
new friend, baby.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
I have to go insane. A minute, just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is play.
Here we go. It is a Wednesday hump day edition of the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump with Adam Lundy. Taking you home on this Wednesday afternoon. Bit chilly, little breezy. I don't know if we could complain too much, though. It is late March. Maybe a couple of degrees below the seasonal average. But spring is in the air. The Tin Caps, they're going to be opening the season in just a couple of weeks. In fact, a week and a half, I think, they start the season. And then we've got the home opener coming up the following week. We're going to get all prepared for it because John Nolan is going to be here. John Nolan is the bookend of broadcasters today. He opened the day from 7 to 9, filling in for Justin Kenny on Caleb and Kenny in the morning. And now he's going to be joining us coming up about 30 minutes from now to talk all things Tin Caps, including the roster, the Meet the Team event, their open house where you get a chance to see a little behind the scenes at Parkview Field. Also, we're going to ask him what kind of jobs are still available. We're trying to find something for Adam. We do believe he would be very good at the cleaning position, but is there anything else that we could find for Adam down at the stadium this summer?
You know, I was actually a janitor at one point, Brett.
Were you really? So you've actually got qualifications.
Yeah, I have past experience. I used to clean office buildings at night.
Now, by the time he joins the show, you'll already be hired and have your paperwork completed.
There we go.
Nice job.
Yeah, I got fired after about 3 months.
What were you cleaning?
Office buildings.
Okay. So you would go in at night after the offices were closed?
And yep, to clean everything up. But, I didn't do a good enough job, apparently. So they...
No, you weren't supposed to go in the office and then find a nice couch and lay down and take a nap.
Nobody told me that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, wait a minute.
Nobody's here. It's
couch
dark.
Couch looks really comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. They've got a TV in the office.
Yeah. Oh, hey, sports are on.
Yeah, hang out. I can vacuum a little later. I got all night.
Yeah, I already got those cubicles over there. We're good to go.
So we'll find out about jobs because it's always great to get a summer job down at Parkview Field. And we'll find out, too, about tickets because the opener is coming up. You're going to want to get tickets to the opener. And I'll tell you why when we talk to John Nolan and talk about this roster. But that all comes up about 30 minutes down the road. So the final four set, and it's not necessarily the final four that anybody expected. I mean, I know for a fact that there is no one close to this final four from our 1380 The Fan Bracket Bash 2023, presented by Edding Insurance, Coyote Creek Bar and Grill, and Sweet Spot Golf.
Got to show love to our sponsors.
Absolutely. They're the ones that make it happen. You hear that cash register ring. You know why. It's because we've got those sponsors on the contest. But we right now do have your last chance opportunity to claim some cash. We've got the final four bracket that's posted. So you got to pick. Actually, I said three games because you have to pick the two semifinal games and then the championship game. But if you win this bracket, $100. Why not, huh?
Free hundo.
Cash it in. Yeah. I mean, considering the fact that you've been miserable at picking games up until this point, you could still claim $100 from your bracket. I mean, that's the amazing thing is we start over.
Yeah, I don't know who else does this, honestly.
Clean slate for the final four. So go ahead and get yourself your final four picks. And don't delay. Don't wait. Because you know what happens when you wait and you procrastinate? You forget.
Oh, yeah.
You'll remember it like 5:09. I don't know, the game start at 5:08 or something. But you'll know, like, right after the game start, it's too late. So go ahead and make your picks at 1380thefan.com or text the word BASH to 46862. But with this group, are we seeing a trend of parity in college basketball, and what is impacting that trend? Seeing mid-majors that are able to take advantage of a transfer or two that comes out of maybe a bigger conference, and maybe they went somewhere, they were highly recruited out of high school, they go somewhere, they end up being a sixth or seventh man, that's not quite good enough, and there's going to be another transfer coming in that will keep a spot above them, so they're not going to move up in that program. It's kind of like the situation with Tamar Bates at Indiana. And so guys like Bates have an opportunity to go almost be the star player and get 30 minutes plus every game if they go to a mid-major. And so you're seeing more sixth, seventh, and eighth men from a power conference program going and becoming a starter on a mid-major. And then all of a sudden these mid-majors find two or three guys like that. And if they play well together and there's a certain chemistry and everything meshes, you end up with a season like Florida Atlantic just had. And Florida Atlantic did not do it just in the transfer portal, because it's not like this roster was assembled for this season. This has been a process that goes back 4 or 5 years for Dusty May and the Florida Atlantic Owls, because they've got guys that have been in their program for 5 years. They've got guys that have transferred in 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's been a process for FAU. But are we seeing the impact of the portal? I don't think it's the NIL, because that common sense would tell you the NIL would be attractive for the bigger schools. But the portal gives opportunity to these guys to go try to earn a spot at a big school, enjoy that atmosphere for a year, and then say, you know what, I miss having my time on the court. And whether you believe in it or not, it's the reality, because the rules allow for this. And yeah, I want to see guys that earn their minutes and that they make a commitment and they stick to it. If they're going to go play for this school, maybe it doesn't work out year one, but that's a reason to get in the gym, to try harder, and to make it better in year two, not just to bail on a program and look for a better opportunity elsewhere. I don't like it. And I think there's a lot of people that don't like the freedom that the players are being given. And the NCAA is looking at addressing this. But it is the reality we're in right now. And all of a sudden, you've got a lot of teams that, mid-majors, 16s knocking off ones, 15s knocking off twos. You had it all during this March Madness. And I guess, was this an anomaly, or was this the trend because of some of the rule changes in college basketball?
Absolutely, and I think it adds another skill that a potential college coach needs to have, which is the ability to keep players in your program, which isn't something that they necessarily had to worry about before all this transfer portal stuff.
You know what else? It also gives coaches the flexibility to change their roster rapidly. So not only do you want to keep the ones you want to keep, but you also can easily excuse the ones that aren't working out. And you can upgrade your roster every year than feeling like I got bamboozled on this recruiting. And the game I went and saw this kid play, he's not that kind of player. He had a great day. I recruited him. I made an offer. He came to my college. And turned out, when I saw him play every day, I realized we'd made a mistake. And we needed to upgrade at that spot. I mean, coaches make mistakes, kids make mistakes. They choose the wrong school. They don't get the right fit.
Yeah, so it's kind of a double-edged sword type of situation. Then you can replace players that you don't like, but you have to worry about potentially losing your players that you do like.
Put this into perspective. I want to get a guess. There's 363 Division I men's basketball teams. Out of 363 Division I men's basketball teams, how many players are in the portal? I believe as of right now, the number has probably eclipsed 900. And it may be on its way to hitting 1,000. which is going to be almost close to a third of the players that play college basketball are going to be in the portal. I mean, it's right now it's about three per team, and it may go a little bit higher than that. But that's three players that are going to leave one program and three players that are going to find new opportunity at that program. And like I said, it's a way for a new coach to come in, clean house, replace a roster. It's a way for an existing coach to correct mistakes, recruiting mistakes. Coaches make them, players make them, and it ends up causing friction. And I'm not saying a bad relationship, but a player has certain expectations and a coach has certain expectations. And when they're not being met one way or the other, it often is best maybe for the player to go find a better situation. Now, every year, I would say there's one or two of those guys on every team. Three or four or five, or in some cases, we've seen teams with six that have entered the portal. I don't know if I've seen any team that's gone higher than six.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's tracking this is our retired listener, Rick. He tracks the transfer portal pretty closely. He's probably got a better idea if there's anybody that's got more than six, but there's a couple of Horizon League teams that I think right now have six in the transfer portal.
Yeah, so far, this coming from On3.com, who we've actually had people on the show from.
Right.
Right now, they're saying there's 723 men's basketball D1 entered, but that could definitely go up from here.
I was going to say, because last night I saw somebody post on Twitter 800 and some, so I don't know where the difference in numbers.
But around there so far, and it probably will go up.
Yeah. And so, because you have websites that make it public, but then there's the internal transfer portal, which is only accessible to coaches. And let me tell you this, it's also changed the coaching profession, because where you used to have a little bit of a break right now in April and May, where maybe you didn't have the high school games to go see and recruit, and
yeah,
the season's finished, and maybe your guys are taking finals. You know what coaches are doing right now? Assistant coaches right now are at their computers banging away. Refresh, 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 just waiting for that diamond in a rough to show up in the transfer portal so they can grab the phone and make a call. Yesterday, we found out about Zane Doughty from Ben Davis, that he was going to withdraw his name on the NLI from Valparaiso, and that he was going to open up his recruitment. Here we are, 24 hours later, he's already got three offers, IUPUI, Eastern Kentucky, and Nicholls State.
Things move fast these days, Brad.
I was thinking I might see Purdue Fort Wayne on that list. But
hey, we got a text here on the text line. Someone said, coaches can bounce around job to job and leave players hanging out to dry by running them off, but players can't? Nah, let the kids do what they want or what they need to do for themselves and what's best for them.
Okay, so let me respond to that, because I've made a point that when there's a commitment, and like I said, I think you teach these young people that when you make a commitment, you make a commitment, because I think we have the same situation as these young adults go into the job world and they decide, this job, not perfect, I'm going to go find something else. What you're going to learn as you gain maturity and experience is there's going to be flaws in every single job you go get. There's always going to be something that maybe is a little different than you expected, and that's the real world. And you've got to learn to deal with it and try to overcome it if it's a challenge. And I've always said that in a situation or a circumstance where a coach leaves and breaks a contract, not that it's the end of the contract, because I think if the kid signed an NLI to go play for a coach who had 1 year left on his contract, that kid took the chance that coach isn't going to be there after 1 year. But if a coach breaks a contract where he's, you know, under a contract with the university for 4 or 5 years, and a year later or 2 years later, he's leaving, somebody's paying a buyout, whatever the case may be, in those situations, I think it's automatic that they should be released from their obligations to that university and should be allowed to transfer without penalty. And I believe that ever since there was the sit out a year penalty. I didn't think if a coach could leave and still coach, that a player shouldn't be able to leave and still play. I've always believed that. I get it. There's the empowerment of the player right now. That is the era we are in. We are empowering our younger generation. The power is leaving the coaches and administrators. It's leaving authority figures, and it's being transferred to the youth. We've seen it over the last decade or two, right? I mean, there was no question who was in charge when I grew up. My coach could make any decision to bench me, play me. I didn't have a whole army of people that supported me that were going to go complain about the coach, go in front of a school board. The power right now is with the player. And yeah, I'm a little old school, and I think if you make that commitment, you should stick it out. But I also do believe there are circumstances where it's in the best interest for both the team and the player to mutually part. But that's one of those where I don't think the player should just say, I'm leaving. I think the player should go request a release, and then the team say, you know, have a chance to negotiate with them, talk to them, add a little ching ching to the NIL fund, whatever you want to do. But my point is, if both parties agree, and most coaches are not unfair about this, they understand that there's times where it's going to be in the best interest of both sides to just part ways. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. But what we're seeing right now is a lot of parity. Look at the two teams that have made it to the championship in the NIT. It's not the Power Conference teams. No, it's two teams from Conference USA.
Yeah.
The conference that FAU is a part of, and FAU won the regular season, won the tournament, and yet Conference USA now claims the champion of the CBI. And they will claim the championship of the NIT because you got two teams from the conference playing for the championship.
It's like we said yesterday, Brett, they're going for that triple crown.
The trifecta of championships. I wonder, because the CBI has become just a mid-major tournament now. CBI used to include some power conference teams. It was like the next level of teams below NIT. So you would have power conference teams that were like right at 500. But I wonder, it's almost got to be impossible for anybody to have claimed a trifecta in that because we haven't had mid-majors winning the NCAA tournament. And a lot of times it's not a mid-major that wins the NIT. It ends up being one of the power conference teams that got hot and didn't quite break the threshold to make it into the NCAA tournament. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Anything?
Nothing on the text line, Brett.
Well, let's get to the headlines for today. Let's find out what's going on in the world of sports elsewhere and around the country. Today's top headlines with Adam Lundy.
All right, let's get right into it. Well, free agent quarterback Lamar Jackson defended why he didn't play in last season's playoff game with the Ravens on social media. Quote, "Let's get real. I'd rather have a 100% PCL than go out there and play horrible, forcing myself to put my guys in a bad situation. Now that's selfish to me," Lamar Jackson tweeted last night.
Lamar Jackson needs to stop trying to make a case for himself. Get representation that can talk for you. Because I don't think this looks good. Not when the team that won the Super Bowl had a quarterback that hobbled out on a terribly sprained ankle.
Yeah, that's certainly something
I mean, let's move past it, Lamar. Get somebody who will give you some good sound advice and tell you, shut up, stay in the background, let us negotiate a deal. Let's not keep damaging our public image, because ultimately public image will have some say into the dollars and cents on that contract.
Newest head coach in Big Ten basketball was announced. Taking over the Penn State Nittany Lions program will be Mike Rhodes, former head coach at VCU.
Yes.
VCU under Rhodes has reached the NCAA tournament in three of the past 4 years the event has been held, and his coaching record is 129 wins to 61 losses in six seasons at VCU. He replaces Micah Shrewsbury, who is taking over at Notre Dame.
You know, the thing I like about this hire is it's a job that Dusty May is not going to get, and maybe he will stay at FAU.
One more for you, Brett. MLB opening day is tomorrow, and every single team in the league will be playing in a game. For teams that are popular here in town, the Cubs will play the Brewers at Wrigley, the Reds play the Pirates in Cincy, the Tigers will be playing against the Rays in Tampa, the Padres play the Rockies at Petco, and the Cleveland Guardians are playing in Seattle for the nightcap game in MLB.
Maybe just because I grew up as a Reds fan, this means more to me than maybe the average baseball fan. But man, I really miss that the Cincinnati Reds don't have opening day all to themselves.
Yeah, they used to do that.
The tradition where they had the parade, they had the first game to kick off the season, and not anymore. I guess that's what happens when you suck, because the Reds have pretty much sucked lately. You lose privileges. So... we got anything else, or is that the...
I actually do have one more here for you, Brett.
I'll let you have time for it.
The Pacers announced today they've waived two-way player Trevelyan Queen. This news is on the heels of him being suspended in last night's playoff game loss against the Capital City Go-Go.
We got to talk a lot about that, because there was a lot more happening in that game last night. Wonder if that's a message that's being sent. You get to the playoffs, and one of your better players, former league MVP, ends up suspended, can't play, and all that work to get into the playoffs, and it's one and done for the Mad Ants. Kind of a disappointing departure and end of the season for the G League team. All right, those are today's top headlines with Adam Lundy. Still coming up on the show, John Nolan's going to join us 10 minutes or so from now.
This is Chris Denary from the Indiana Pacers on Fox Sports Indiana, and you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Back on The Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Adam Lundy, and John Nolan from the Tin Caps, and guest host on Caleb and Kenny in the Morning this morning from 7 to 9. John was filling in early in the morning. I don't know if that's an early wake-up call. I don't know if John is. I don't think he gets up that early. So it was probably an early wake-up call. And now we're going to have him on coming up in about 5 minutes to talk about the Tin Caps. Oh, you've got roster. You've got to meet the team. You've got an open house event. You've got jobs, perhaps, for the summer.
We've got promotions.
Promotions. Fireworks.
Forget about it.
I wonder if Noel Duncan's been booked to sing the national anthem yet for the Tin Caps.
She should be.
She should. I'd go watch her every night. She was amazing. Amazing. Anyway, IU has locked up a transfer from the transfer portal. It is Peyton Sparks. Yeah, breaking news as of this morning. But we cheat here because we have to hold on to it all day. We can't just come on the air and tell you about it. We're not even here.
Exactly.
So anytime we can play the breaking news sounder, might have been 12 hours ago, but doggone it, yeah, it's breaking news. The Indiana Hoosiers have locked up Peyton Sparks, the transfer from Ball State out of Winchester, Indiana. So an in-state product. And maybe some pressure for Peyton Sparks to make a quick decision, because he had to be sitting back looking at all these other centers that the Hoosiers were having conversations with. And so Peyton Sparks decided, let's not wait. Let's make our commitment. We're locked in. A 6'9", 240-pound center who averaged 13.3 points per game and 8.7 rebounds with the Ball State Cardinals this past season. I think it's a fair pickup. I don't think you are going to be center-centric like you have been with Trace Jackson-Davis. So I don't think you expect somebody to replace Trace Jackson-Davis. But you do need somebody that can guard a post. You need somebody that can rebound. And I think you get that with Peyton Sparks. But I think the real key for Indiana is, can they find the shooting? They've still got to get wing shooters. I want to see shooters with length, because I think Indiana has a good enough NIL and big enough name program with 900 players or whatever the number is that's in the portal right now, you should be able to find yourself a 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", wing that's got length and athleticism that can shoot it at about 40%. You don't need to get a Miller Cop, a slightly under-athletic, although with the headband, he did look like he had some hops. He didn't. He just had the headband. But I think that the Hoosiers need to find those types of players, because you're also losing Jalen Hood-Schifino. And even though Schifino was not a rebounder, he was not a perimeter defender by any means, he still did give you a little bit of length, which, you know, length on the perimeter does so many things. First of all, you don't have to have the quickest feet. You don't have to have the greatest closeout if you've got length. You also can get hands into passing lanes easier if you've got length. And we're talking about guys 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", and the extra 3 or 4 inches that gives them in wingspan. So I think that's what Indiana's got to be able to add to their roster. Remember, they've got a point guard coming out of Centerville, Dayton, Ohio. Gabe Cupps had a terrific senior season, terrific high school career, appeared in another state championship game, got beat by, I believe it was Pickerington Central that knocked them off. They play the Ohio State Championships in Dayton at the Dayton Arena. But Gabe Cupps, a 6'1 guard, the 14th rated point guard in the 2023 class and a top 100 prospect overall. So you add that. I still don't know if we've gotten a word on Xavier Johnson. I've heard nothing. Anybody knows anything, you can text us. Unless you're the guy that fooled Dokic, and then don't text us because we don't want to be fooled. If you're going to text us and say, hey, Zach Edey's in the transfer portal, we're not buying it.
No, we're not.
Not retweeting that. No. And we're not going to say, we've got breaking news. Our sources are telling us Zach Edey in the portal.
Man, that was funny.
Oh, it was funny. Yeah. He got roasted on Twitter. And I got to hand it to him. He actually handled it pretty well. It's tough for a guy who's full of ego to handle the public humiliation that he faced when he, and Zach Edey, give him the tweet of the day, maybe the tweet of the year. When Dokic said his sources are saying, or his people, that's what he said, his people are telling him that Zach Edey is in the transfer portal. And Zach Edey responded and said something about his sources are saying this is false. I would say Zach Edey's sources are probably better than Dan Dokic's sources at that point. I think the only decision Zach Edey has is not about going to a different school, because I think he's in the perfect system if he's going to play college basketball. The question is, will he fit in the NBA system? I think he's going to be coming back and being a Boilermaker next year. 46862 is Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Also, we mentioned this yesterday, but worth repeating, that Tamar Bates has entered the transfer portal. Still no word on Jordan Geronimo, although there were some rumors that he was kind of thinking about maybe testing the waters of the transfer portal. But at this point, looks like Jordan Geronimo still with Indiana, part of the Hoosiers front line that's returning for next year. We'll take a break. We've got John Nolan joining us coming up next. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. You think we need to do a listener bracket for our Final Four? Not really, right? I mean, they were so bad on the original round of 64, and then we gave them a second chance round of 16, and that was a disaster. I think they've worn out their chances.
Yeah, they've worn out their welcome.
Oh, well, no, they're still very welcome here. We certainly want our listeners to feel welcome, but they've worn out their opportunity to beat us.
Yes, they've worn out their
That's a privilege to have that opportunity.
Their bracket chances.
All right, let's talk about the Tin Caps, because it's going to be another fun season down at Parkview Field, downtown Fort Wayne. Hard to believe with the weather we've got today. It's a little bit brisk, I think, would be the best term. And tomorrow morning might be even more brisk. But it doesn't mean baseball's not just around the corner. And to talk about it, we're joined now by Tin Cash broadcaster and media relations extraordinaire, John Nolan. John, how are you?
Hey, Brett, I'm doing well. Yeah, wouldn't mind a little bit more warmth as we gear up for the season. But actually, it looks like the conditions will be pretty good for the guys. First few workouts at Parkview Field next week with opening day here on deck.
I should have just asked you to stick around. I heard you this morning. You woke me up this morning with Caleb and Kenny. I should have just said, hey, John, hang in the studio. It'll be perfect.
Yeah, well, pretty much, though, if you want to catch me going forward, you can find me at Parkview Field or Midwest League Ballpark now through a week or so after Labor Day. Hopefully a little bit later than that, even into September this year, because yeah, with the Tin Caps roster being released by the Padres yesterday, I know it's kind of cliche for everyone to be optimistic, whether you're, you know, in your case, as a Reds fan, you know, you can kind of look at things through some rosy-colored glasses even during spring training. And so, yeah, it's going to be that way in minor league baseball, too, where there's hype and there's excitement. But I think it's a little bit more tangible for the Tin Caps out of the gate to start this season, with the talent that'll be on display, namely with shortstop Jackson Merrill, 19-year-old, and depending on which publication you're looking at, not only is he the consensus top Padres prospect, but a top 10 or 20 prospect in all of baseball. And so he's going to be the opening day shortstop, probably going to be in the leadoff spot. And along with him, a core group coming up from the level below us in the Padres organization, where last year with the Lake Elsinore Storm, they were the California League champs. You know, coming into this big league season that starts tomorrow, the Padres are a lot of people's pick to win the World Series. So there's just really a winning mindset around the organization right now. And so we're hoping to see that here at Parkview Field as well.
You know, John, I did shed a bit of a tear looking at the roster when it was released yesterday, because I can't remember the time I looked at one and didn't see Justin Lopez on it.
Funny enough, so Lopez, who going back to the Tin Caps time as a low A or single A affiliate for the Padres, and Justin, but he debuted with us in 2018, I believe, when, no, actually, in 2017, I forgot. He was here in 2017 as a 17-year-old, and believe it or not, I don't know if you caught this, Brett, he actually, after last year, they decided to convert him from being an infielder to a pitcher. I also was kind of curious, okay, what's his status? Because last year he was really just at the rookie level as a pitcher. And they actually jumped him above us. He's going to be with AA San Antonio.
Yeah, he must really be making that switch rather smoothly to be able to for them to have the confidence that he can face AA hitting. I was a little surprised. I thought, because I honestly did think that we might see him on this roster, but as a pitcher, because I thought this might be the level they'll put him just based on age and see, you know, challenge him, because you can always go up or down from this level. But it was great to see him actually get onto that double A roster. And of course, Joshua Mears could add to the fan entertainment down at Parkview Field as well. This guy that we know can hit a baseball a really long way.
Yeah, last year, no exaggeration. There's the true data to back it up. Hit a home run more than 500 feet, 504 feet exactly, on the road at Lansing. And so last year, and basically less than half a season spent with the Tin Caps, he still managed to lead the team in home runs with 14. So that means he certainly would have been on track to break Fernando Tatis Jr.'s single season record here had he been with the club longer. And interestingly, he actually did wind up ending last season at the double-A level and haven't been able to catch up with anyone from the Padres yet to sort of get an explanation of not only with Joshua, but we actually have a couple other guys on the pitching staff who last season were with double-A and now wind up here. So I guess it's a case of everyone kind of goes into spring training with a clean slate, you know, regardless of what sport you're following. Sometimes, you know, we hear in football at training camp, oh, there's competition for every job. And, you know, you wonder, is that actually true or are they just staying in it? I guess some level of Padres spring training this year, you know, they did kind of resort guys. So, yeah, with Mears last year, 14 homers in a little over 50 games, funny enough, he had all but one of them on the road. So I feel like we're really due here at Parkview Field this season for Joshua to take some deep, and for, you know, our friends over in the Harrison building out in left field, they probably got to just, you know, double check the insurance policy on broken windows, because, I mean, that building's going to be target practice for him once again.
Last year, you mentioned the rosters and guys in Double A and Low A and some of the guys that finished the season here. But weren't the rosters kind of, I don't know how to say it, muddied up a little bit, because you just had to throw bodies where they were needed there late in the season because of the flurry of trades that the parent club made?
Yeah, that was definitely a factor. And then even the situation as it broke last year, where here at the Tin Caps, we were not in a pennant chase late, but the Padres' other affiliates around the organization were. So, yeah, definitely that's one where you couldn't read into, like, oh, how the roster ended in 2022 was going to be much of an indication of how it would start here this season. So, yeah, truly is kind of a fresh beginning for a lot, and still going to be the same as usual, where as it starts now is not going to be how it finishes. But for the time being, we do just have eyes ahead here on the onset in April.
And, of course, the Tin Caps offering some quick fan engagement because there's a Meet the Team event that's coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the guys still have a few days left of spring training in Peoria, Arizona, near Phoenix. They'll be flying up here this weekend, check out the ballpark for the first time on Sunday, and then it'll be the first opportunity for fans to meet our guys coming up on Tuesday. So if you're doing spring break in town, it's a free event. It'll be from 5 to 8 in the evening on Tuesday. That's April 4th. And so you can watch the team work out on the field, and then afterwards, rain or shine, we'll have a free autograph session. You can get the whole team efficiently all at once. If it's cold or if it's wet, we'll move that inside, so you don't have to worry about whether or not it'll be taking place regardless of weather on Tuesday. And then another free event looking ahead, actually, because the timeline goes, we got Meet the Team on Tuesday the 4th. Then the road opener, true opening day, will be a week from tomorrow, next Thursday, up in the Grand Rapids area against the Tigers-affiliated West Michigan Whitecaps.
Yeah, go north. Go north to open up. That's what we want.
Yeah,
we're
actually, you know, we started off here talking about the weather, so I believe it or not, I had not peaked until just now, but currently the projected forecast for next Thursday, opening day in Comstock Park, Michigan, high of 39. So that's not fun, but at least it's showing currently a dry forecast there. Looking ahead to a week from Saturday, so April 8th, we'll have our open house at Parkview Field. So the team will be on the road, but we'll have open house here Saturday the 8th. That'll start at 11 in the morning, a couple hours into 1 in the afternoon. And, you know, even though Parkview Field's been around here, shoot, almost 15 years now, for a lot of fans, you know, they've never had the chance to sit in the dugout where players are during the game, or check out the suite level lounge, or go out to the 400 club or the summit. And so a free event will have those behind the scenes all access tours. Not to mention, for both these events, we'll have concessions open, so you can, you know, get refamiliarize yourself with your favorite flavors here at the ballpark, food and drinks. And we'll have the team store open, a lot of new gear in there, and name brands like Nike. And depending on the weather for kids, the fun zone will be open. So great way to just kind of get geared up for that opening day here at home at Parkview Field on Tuesday the 11th, 6:35 game.
I think we need to start a new phrase. You know, they talk about it's a dry heat out in the desert. I think we need to start a phrase that it's not that cold because it's a dry freeze, because that's basically what you're going to be getting up there in Grand Rapids. Hey, John, let's talk about jobs. I know that the Tin Caps employ a pretty good chunk of people, a lot of youngsters, high school, college kids, some retirees. What's the status of job availability for Parkview Field this summer?
Yeah, pretty much always hiring. And whether you go to tincaps.com or tincapsjobs.com directly to find the form to fill out the application online at your convenience. I know, to be honest, compared to the last couple of years coming out of the pandemic, I know we're in a much better place overall. That said, a couple areas in particular where I know we are actively still filling out our roster, so to speak, would be for cooks in our food and beverage department, and then also for folks looking to join our cleaning crew. In particular, their cleaning crew pay will start at $14 an hour. So that's working during the games, not necessarily overnight, just during the games. So you're 6 to 10 or so, give or take. So those are a couple of areas where I know we still have some spots. But that said, you know, especially at the start of the season and at the end of the season, when a good core of our crew will wind up still being in school, whether studying or teaching, you know, there's going to be some spots there to fill out as well. But yeah, tincaps.com, tincapsjobs.com directly. To find the link to fill out a form.
And of course, I know every year we always anticipate a new broadcaster joining the mix. Last year, Ben Schulman, the son of Dan Schulman, and he's got opportunities now in Canada, in his hometown in Toronto. And so we've got a new name and some local flavor that's going to join the broadcast this year.
Yeah, right up the road. Coming from Ossian, Norwell High School, and IU alum, Derek Decker. So he got to call a lot of Hoosiers athletics the last several years. He just graduated in May, and we're calling him up from Kansas, where he was broadcasting all sorts of high school and college events out there. And so, yeah, awesome to have Derek Decker, who grew up going to Tin Caps games, even Wizards games back in the day, and so someone who's really familiar here with Fort Wayne in Northeast Indiana, and not to mention a super talented broadcaster too, to continue the great traditions of broadcasting that we've had here in this organization, and for that matter, just around Fort Wayne with the icons of the past like a Bob Chase and a Hilliard Gates, and the list goes on.
And final thing, John, tickets, the availability and how to access them.
Yeah, and tickets are still just starting at $7 this year. You can still sit behind home plate in the front row for $14, so not hiking up any ticket prices or anything like that. And for that matter, you know, we still got our amazing values for concessions Tuesday night, $2 deals, $2 domestic drafts on Thursdays, et cetera. And so still have tickets on sale at, you can find the link there right at tincaps.com. Good seats, certainly still available. And, in April, understandably, people are a little bit reluctant to buy tickets in advance, not knowing what the forecast is going to be. But, yeah, looking like we're going to have a nice turnout for opening day and get the ball rolling for a wonderful 2023 season. I thought last year, 2022, still kind of coming out of the pandemic, we ended the season really strong. Sold out the last three games of the year over Labor Day weekend, and it felt like it's kind of momentum that's carrying into this new year. As the Tin Caps remain one of the leaders in all of minor league baseball, regardless of attendance, even outdrawing nearly everyone in Double A and a good percentage of the Triple A clubs around the country too. So, yeah, excited. I'm at the ballpark right now, looking out at the beautiful view we have, and as great as it is, it's just a whole another level when it's filled here and fans are rocking.
About the ballpark, real quick. I know every year it seems like there's a tweak here or there at the ballpark. Sometimes fans notice, sometimes they don't. But are there anything? Is there anything that's happened in the off season with the ballpark that fans will look forward to this year?
Yeah, one thing for fans to look forward to when we talk about tickets, a lot of our group areas are sold out, especially for fireworks night. Though there still are some different opportunities, and actually, due to the demand for groups coming out here, we do have a new group area this year. It's called the Patio, presented by Modelo, and so that's in left center field, nestled in between our Roarman Automotive Group home run porch and our Ruoff Lawn Mortgage lawn seats, and so that's going to fit about 25 to 40 if you have a group exclusively. High top tables, you got the railing to look right over, pretty much the left fielder's shoulders out there. And so that's going to be a new group area where, you get your own service as far as the food and drinks go. All you can eat, all you can drink comes with your ticket. So that'll be a new group area. And then otherwise, I think, our team president, Mike Nutter, has been on and chatted with you about this. Some things that fans won't see, but if you wonder, okay, are they, where are they investing in the ballpark this year? We actually have a new locker room space dedicated for female coaches. And we do have a female athletic trainer this year in Lauren Gottschall. So that's new in the clubhouse. We have an expanded weight room area for our players. That's something that was really decreed by Major League Baseball. So, you know, we are fortunate overall that Parkview Field, because of how marvelous it is, there isn't a very long list of upgrades that we need compared to some other communities. I've heard numbers of 20, maybe even $30 million that they have to have in upgrades, which at that point, then you're maybe talking about just a whole new ballpark close to it. And those are a couple things that we'll have this year that fans won't necessarily catch. And you know, maybe in the next couple of years, something more noticeable would be LED lights, but not quite here for 2023.
And, of course, the return of the pitch clock. But we don't have the robo-umps yet, right?
Not here at this level. They will have that automatic ball strike system at AAA, which, again, probably is a good hint or indication for fans following Major League Baseball that it's going to be coming to the big leagues soon, and perhaps it'll be coming to the high-A level for us down the road, too, but not this year for automated ball strike system. But, yeah, we will once again have the pitch timer. We'll have, no shifting here. So, yeah, stuff that now fans watching Major League Baseball we'll see starting tomorrow. They've already seen it in spring training this year. That'll be the case here again. I was actually just looking back at the numbers. And so last year, our average time of game at Parkview Field wound up being about 2 hours and 33 minutes compared to the year before when it was about 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow.
So we'll see as guys get even more used to it. Just kind of a more action on the field, less downtime, and I think kind of just makes it more efficient fun when you come out to a game at Parkview Field.
Appreciate the time, John. Look forward to the season. Once again, the season opens on the road a week from tomorrow night, and you can meet the team coming up next Tuesday at Parkview Field, and you can check out the ballpark a week from Saturday, correct?
Yep, that'll be a week from Saturday for the open house. So, yeah, all the details, and for that matter now, our roster, which we actually have a little bit earlier than usual, posted on tincaps.com there with 11 of the top 30 Padres prospects highlighted by this 19-year-old shortstop, Jackson Merrill. And, yeah, some names from last year, too. Nick Twaits, the reliever out of Fort Recovery High School across the border in Ohio. And, going to be a great group, and great catching up with you here. Brett, we'll see you down here soon.
All right, appreciate it, John. That is John Nolan, radio voice of the Tin Caps. He'll be on the call as the Tin Caps open on the road. I assume he will be on the call as the Tin Caps open up at Grand Rapids against West Michigan. It's kind of interesting when you consider that we're only, 2 weeks from yesterday, and it will be the home opener for the Tin Caps. Man, quick. How about the new rules? I think the pitch clock is to use a baseball analogy, a home run. I mean, you take 315 and knock it down to 2.5. That's huge for fans to come out and be able to take in an entire ball game. People were worried about concession sales, and it's like nobody bought concessions after the first hour and a half. They went, got their fill, and sat at their seats, finished up whatever they bought. So it almost had no impact on concession sales. I love it. We got to take a break. It's already pretty much the top of the hour. So we've got to get a break in, start hour number two coming up on the other side. It is a Wednesday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.